In Stride Toward Freedom, The Montgomery Story, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. looked back on an important moment in his life as a follower of the way of Jesus and the leader of the civil rights movement. He wrote, "I was ready to give up. With my cup of coffee sitting untouched before me, I tried to think of a way to move out of the picture without appearing a coward. In this state of exhaustion, when my courage had all but gone, I decided to take my problem to God. With my head in my hands, I bowed over the kitchen table and prayed aloud. The words I spoke to God that midnight are still vivid in my memory. I am here taking a stand for what I believe is right, but now I am afraid. The people are looking to me for leadership, and if I stand before them without strength and courage, they too will falter. I am at the end of my powers. I have nothing left. I've come to the point where I can't face it alone." At that moment, King wrote, "I experienced the presence of the divine as I had never experienced God before. It seemed as though I could hear the quiet assurance of an inner voice saying, 'Stand up for justice, stand up for truth, and God will be at your side forever.' Almost at once, my fears began to go. My uncertainty disappeared. I was ready to face anything." In the midst of critical and important work needing to be done, people wanting to meet with him, phone calls needing to be returned, millions of details needing to be organized, Dr. King made time to invite God into his personal struggle, and he also made time to listen to God. He was exhausted. It would have been easy to give up. But King's willingness to make time and space for God made all the difference. Today's scripture passages highlight multiple themes. I'm going to focus on God's call to us and the fact that God reveals or manifests God's self to us in many different ways. Hearing God requires listening for how the Holy Spirit might be speaking through Scripture, through the prophetic voices of our age and past ages, listening to the people we interact with each day, and the world. Seeing God requires space, time, and openness to what the Holy Spirit might already be doing in our midst. Our Old Testament story from 1 Samuel, which Joe read so well, bringing out the humor in it, focuses on the boy Samuel, an apprentice of the priest Eli in the temple at Shiloh. Three times, while Samuel is lying down, he hears a voice calling, "Samuel, Samuel." Each time he runs to Eli, thinking that Eli has called him. The third time Samuel comes to Eli, Eli perceives that it is the Lord who is calling Samuel. And he instructs Samuel to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." God indeed calls again, And when Samuel invites God to speak, God gives Samuel some difficult news. As he grows up, Samuel becomes a prophet of the Lord, God's mouthpiece. Doing so requires spending a lot of time listening to God. This text begs the question, are we listening? And if so, to whom are we listening? If God calls us, are we willing to answer? Our other theme is the many ways that God reveals or manifests God's self to us, which is something we're looking at throughout this season of Epiphany. In our gospel reading, Jesus is in the process of calling or inviting a series of disciples or students to follow him. Right before today's story, in which Jesus calls Philip, and then Philip invites Nathanael to meet Jesus, two of John the Baptist's disciples have asked Jesus where he is staying. He invites them to come and see. In our gospel, Philip says the same thing to Nathanael after telling him that he and others have found the one about whom Moses and the prophets were speaking, Jesus of Nazareth. So Philip also says to Nathanael, come and see. Now, Nathanael was from Cana, near Nazareth. And clearly, people from Cana looked down on people from Nazareth. And sadly, I can relate to this. When I was growing up in eastern San Diego, I'm from La Mesa, we sadly looked down on people from El Cajon, also in eastern San Diego, and we thought they were cowboys and yokels, and we were better than them. Interestingly, we've heard some similar thoughts from our president lately. Here, Nathanael is doing the same rotten thing, labeling and dismissing a whole village and everyone in it. In the process, Nathanael almost dismisses the chosen one of God because he had some bad feelings about Nazareth. Good thing Jesus read Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. Because when he saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said, here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And Nathanael loved Jesus' flattering words and was blown away by the fact that Jesus had seen him under a fig tree before Philip had called him. In response, Nathanael had some words of high praise and lofty titles for Jesus, not only calling him rabbi, but also son of God and king of Israel. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus calls each of us to follow him in different ways. Some of us are called to be musicians, others teachers, others parents, lawyers, artists, doctors, nurses, cooks, or friends. God speaks to us within the cultural contexts in which we live and move and have our being. One of the most amazing things to me about Jesus is that he incarnates or reveals himself in every country, culture, and historical period. And in a few moments, we will have a wonderful example of the way that Jesus speaks to his followers in their own language and culture when we say together the Maasai Creed. The Maasai Creed emerged in the 1960s. It was put together by the Maasai people in Tanzania. There are also Maasai people in Kenya trying to put together the essentials, a statement of the essentials of the Christian faith as they understood them in relationship with some folks from Church of the Holy Ghost who had lived with them. So we have this wonderful creed that I love from the 1960s from Tanzania. Just as most other Sundays, we say the Nicene Creed, which is a statement of faith by 4th century Christians, informed by Greek ways of seeing and experiencing the world. If we want to understand Jesus and God more fully, we must learn from people from every country and culture. And this is one of many reasons that we are doing a Tanzania liturgy this January and focus on a different country that our parishioners are from each season of Epiphany. Each country, culture, and person will have at least one piece of the puzzle that we need as we seek to understand the great and awesome mystery that is God. This morning, I want us in the silence that follows to take a few minutes to rest in God's loving, light-filled, and healing presence. I want you to just sit up straight and start to breathe in and out deeply, and then I want you to picture a cross of light on your forehead, remembering the cross that was made on your forehead at baptism. And I want you to focus on that light, to be still. And if you want to, you can focus on the healing light of Christ moving through your entire body. And if thoughts keep going through your head like popcorn popping, I encourage you to just wash them away, maybe using a picture of a wave with a gentle word, perhaps light, revelation, or listen. So let us move into resting in God's light-filled presence and listening this morning. Amen.